Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. It's May 31st, 2023. We are fresh off of Double or Nothing weekend, Night of Champions weekend, NXT Battleground weekend, Impact Under Siege weekend, New Japan Best of the Super Juniors weekend, and it doesn't stop. We got Dominion this weekend. Just tons of stuff. We're here every night here on YouTube.com/Fightful, pushing a little bit closer to that 90,000 subscriber mark. It would mean a lot if you guys would help us get there and just go on and sign up for about 10,000 more YouTubes and subscribe that way too. We would greatly appreciate that. But if you can't do that, leave a thumbs up on this video. That helps us out a ton. During an ad read or an ad break, leave a comment below your favorite thing about AEW Dynamite. Let's generate some conversation. That stuff helps an awful lot as well. But you can get your super chat and humper chat in here, like Matthew Hooks just did. He says, that show humped. Rampage, anyone? Ridiculous card. It is Championship Friday.
Yeah.
We will be talking about some of the matches that are set for Rampage. They're filming it as we speak. But you can get your super chats in here at youtube.com/Fightful or your humper chats in at humperchats.com. That allows you to get your question or statement before we go on the air as well. Pro Wrestling Podcast said, I am loving life right now. Our friend Pro Wrestling Podcast here has a reason to be loving life. He's been one of the few that have conjured a comment out of CM Punk. We're in rare company here. It's like us and Brian Alvarez. And I don't know if Brian wanted to conjure one out of Punk, but CM Punk is back. The Fightful Select report is confirmed. I'll go ahead and brag about FightfulSelect.com right now. $5 gets you exclusive news. Today we revealed Layla Hirsch on her way back to the company. Thursday, Ask Grapsody goes down. We're also going to have some big contract news that could mean, well, it could mean for a big free agent, possibly. We've also got my Q&A show coming this Friday as well. $5 a month gets you all of that. Less than a sody pop a week. We got C saying, I hope AEW doesn't go to Vegas again. The crowd was immense tonight. Well, you know what? The crowd is immense tonight for AEW, our post show. We've got Alex Palowski here. 3 minutes in, you finally get your intro.
Yeah, well, whenever.
Good to see you.
Good to see you too. This was overall a very fun edition of AEW Dynamite, and Yeah, I worked the schedules to where we're leaving for our vacation all through next week. We're leaving on Saturday. So that means I'll get to do an AEW Rampage watch-along featuring Zack Sabre Jr., Willow Nightingale, Shibata, and a three-way for Vikingo's title. That'll be fun.
So tune in for that. You had your 400th episode of Sour Graps this week. I saw that I saw that Peter Parker made a cameo on there. Like that's great.
That was good.
Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Sour Graps at least twice a week over on Fightful Select. It was more like 732 times last week, though. So check it out, guys. FightfulSelect.com. Promise I won't plug it that much more. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. Our great moderator, Luis. I want to thank him. He did such an incredible job this weekend with all the work that we had. A great job. Great job. Jake Salazar said, bruh, the GOAT is officially back. Let's go ahead and talk about it. We're going to be talking about this throughout the show. CM Punk is where our bread is buttered here. Like, that's how most of you found us to begin with. And it's official, Alex. Tony Khan announced that CM Punk is official for Collision. I just want to reiterate, throughout this period, you're going to see some people who don't know what they're talking about going, but Dirt Sheet said, not this Dirt Sheet, not this one, buddy. Did we ever say that this was off for like the last 2 months. The last 2 months we've been reporting CM Punk. The week, I think at one point it was the week of June 21st. So it is the week of June 21st. Right. June 17th, back for Collision. He got a very mixed reaction from the audience, Alex. How did you feel hearing this?
The whole thing was very awkward. Like, I assumed there was going to be some kind of fanfare. Or what I thought they were going to do is, like, have things like Darby Allin did before the first dance, dropping very non-subtle hints, and let everybody do that. Let everybody start dropping hints about the best in the world and things that have the initials CM in it. Like all these kinds of things. Like when Kenny Omega wore the Cookie Monster shirt, like I thought they were going to do a lot of that. And then you have Punk come back on the first Collision. And the first thing he says is, well, were you surprised to see me? Like there's something there about that, but what we got was Tony Khan doing his weird little pre-tape. He's like, thank you guys, it's great to be here in San Diego. I just wanted to make another announcement about the first ever AEW Collision beginning June 17th. AEW Collision will feature CM Punk, and that was the entire thing. And I was like, that's it.
More
zazz.
He was not going to go out there in front of that crowd for that reason.
No, that's true. That is true.
Oh, my gosh. And somebody says, oh, nobody reported it was off. It was only that it was up in the air, which if it wasn't, the announcement would have been made. Buddy, CM Punk has been under the impression that he was going to work Collision the entire time.
Yeah.
The entire time. I never heard anything different. Were there some speed bumps? Yes. I had never heard he ain't working Collision. Had never heard that one bit. Somebody says, it's refreshing to hear you say that you're talking about CM Punk because it drives traffic. That's what I exist to do, is to drive traffic. For anybody that goes, well, it's clickbait. Well, listen, we talk about CM Punk because CM Punk makes news. I mean, that's the nature of it. Gaming from Canada says, love that Punk is back. Hope he does Forbidden Door. We'll be there, and it'll be my first pay-per-view. I think it would make a lot of sense for him to do Forbidden Door. One of the things that I've mentioned in the past, Alex, is that with CM Punk, I feel like at this point you plan specifically for one match at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. The one match at a time thing, especially to begin with, I think is interesting. I'd love for there to be obvious intrigue, like some CM's got an ulterior motive and we don't know what it is yet, kind of a deal. I mean, if you're not, and it, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but if you're not going to like bring him back and be like, okay, hey, there's crap tons of money to be made heading into All In, doing an Elite versus CM Punk and FTR or whatever feud, if that's off the table for whatever reason, CM shouldn't be just like, hello, I am back and we'll be starting again from scratch. Who would like to fight me? Like, there should be some sense that he's been away, biding his time, stewing about the people he wants to give a little CM Punk to. You know what I mean? Like, I want that. So I would love if he just did some kind of really cool open challengey type thing at Forbidden Door. I'm the best in the world, and I intend to prove it.
I would like it if he came out and he said, hello, San Diego. I will be appearing on the first ever AEW Collision.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And he just smiles.
And he just smiles. Zach
Barber said, did the Collision commercial have a WCW Saturday Night influence, or was it just me? There's very clear WCW influence on this entire brand, and mm-hmm. I think that it's good. I think that it's the WCW that we look upon fondly. It ain't taking inspiration from Thunder, that much I assure you. It's taking inspiration from Saturday Night, and specifically with the imagery, WCW Nitro. Meet Normus says, how long will it take for the Elite and Chicago Muffin Punk to finally do some business? Also, if you're here, hi, Thunder Rosa. We haven't seen Rosa in the chat for a while. Mm-hmm. We hope that she's healing up well. But we also, when are you thinking that we could see the Elite and CM Punk work together? I mean, eventually, it's got to happen.
I would hope it's got to happen. It would be for... Now, as we've heard, as from a lot of detractors as well as people who are in the know, AEW fans are more "quote unquote" hardcore. They read the sheets. They're online constantly. They know there is a dinosaur sized elephant in the room. You know what I mean? Like, if they're not going to address it, we're not going to say anything about it on the All Access show. Like, if they do that kind of stuff, people are going to revolt. They got to address it somehow.
I just want to say this. There are some dinosaurs that are smaller than elephants.
Okay, fine. Correct.
Tom Levin, you know, actually, go ahead. No. Elephants very large.
I stand corrected. I was thinking more along the lines, a Brachiosaurus or something, which is larger than
elephants. Elephants are pretty big.
I stand corrected, and I'll move on.
Mike McVaney says, good show this week. Got two-ish women's matches and a bunch of new feuds, and CM Punk's back. Good week for AEW. It is a good week for AEW. I mean, I know that some people didn't like Double or Nothing, and I completely get, especially with how the layout was. I think in retrospect, at least one thing aged better for Double or Nothing due to tonight. We'll talk about that in a bit. Kim Gray says, I'm probably in the minority. I'm over Punk. Wouldn't watch him if he was wrestling for free on my front lawn. Now, come on. You'd at least be like, is that CM Punk on my front lawn?
At the very least.
Is that an elephant? Or that is a dinosaur-sized elephant out there.
Uh-huh. Well, he's not in the room, though. He'd be on the lawn. That's very different. But you would at least peer through your blinds. Well, I'm going to call bullshit. You're going to at least peer through your blinds. You're going to do one of these things where you're looking through the blinds. You've got to do one of those.
And that's the thing. She'd be like, well, that elephant's on my lawn, so I don't have to pay that much attention to it.
That's true.
That awkward. I can just live in my home. Animal control's going to come by soon.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Miller says, CM Punk to cater the premiere with Mindy's. He absolutely should, Alex. They should.
Oh, my God. Oh yes.
100%. If you are Mindy's, Punk, mm-hmm. AEW, mm-hmm. you mm-hmm. work something out, because it'd be good mm-hmm. for Mindy's, it'd be good for AEW, it'd be good for Punk as well. Because mm-hmm. we have seen the spell that gets put on people when Punk gives them free shit. Yep. They talk about it in interviews, for the love of God.
Yeah.
MJ Johnson says, curious to see who will challenge Max. I think we're getting a New Japan star next. Will they have Punk go for any title or not? I don't think we're going to see Punk going for the world title for a while unless he tries and loses it. And they say, will the BCC ever go for the Trios title? I think almost guaranteed they will at some point. Mm-hmm. Jambeard says, Alex, whoever subs in for you next week needs to bring their best puns and impressions. Looking at you, Sean. I don't know. I might be doing it solo. Denise isn't working Monday either. I might be doing a lot of solo shows next week.
Wow.
Just saying. Meet Normus says, if Punk was wrestling on my lawn, I'd make muffins. Meet Normus. You know what? I would cook whatever Meet Normus made. I get the feeling that he just makes delicious food.
Yeah.
Jambeard says, would a dinosaur-sized elephant be a woolly mammoth?
I mean, woolly mammoths were bigger than elephants.
Yeah.
And they were bigger than some dinosaurs, as you pointed out, but also smaller than others. I guess I should have been as specific with the size of with the specific dinosaur I was imagining, but, you know, it's my fault.
Coy Stalling says, Punk got to be a heel right now. Though OG Ring of Honor Punk, thoughts? I would love to see Punk make some appearances on ROH, by the way. I think that he might even like to do that. It's filmed the same night, but like they could easily have him make cameos on ROH TV now, which is a good subscription driver as well. Mm-hmm. But I think that Punk will be more reminiscent of a 2019 style thing that we saw, where it is a choose your own adventure, I like to call it. Some people are going to cheer for him, some people are going to boo for him, and you decide if you like him.
Right.
Mark Losper says, really helped Tony went out of his way to make the Bucks and Kenny feel real safe in the workspace. Now that their perpetrator is showing back up to work, I feel so bad for those guys right now. I'll just leave that one alone. Let Mark's words speak for themselves there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I feel like that Omega and the Bucks are very, very smart and very savvy, and they will make sure that they are reimbursed accordingly for work situation.
Yeah, they're as EVPs, they do better when the company does better. And if they basically said, listen, bring him back, he's gonna increase gates, he's gonna increase, you know, all overall money that the company brings in, as long as we aren't appearing on the same show as that guy, fine. Like, honestly, that may be it. We don't know. We have no idea what the agreement was, you know, to make everyone. I hope everyone signed off on it. I don't want anything happening unilaterally. Like, I don't want Tony Khan saying, hey, listen, I don't care what you guys say. This guy makes money. We're bringing him back. I don't want any of that stuff leaking out.
Guys, we are going to be covering the CM Punk thing in and out through this entire show. I know it's a topic that you guys are going to want to talk about. So what we're going to do is just thread it in and out of this show. Mm-hmm. We got John Moxley, Wheeler Yuta, and Claudio defeating the Lucha Brothers and Bandido. I can't pronounce the Mexican character that Bandido was dressed as, but I just saw it all over my timeline, like Demon Diva and Denise. Everybody was talking about El Chapulín Colorado, I believe, who was, again, an iconic Mexican character. Tom LaValle said, shout out to Louis for knowing Bandito's reference tonight. I saw a lot of it. It seemed to hit home with a lot of people. But Meet Normus says, sup, everyone, currently smoking the meat I bought earlier. No update on the bird in the grocery store. While I'm rambling in this chat, Bandido and Yuta had in the air for about 10 more seconds. Jeez Louise. Bandido and Yuta sort of stole this match for me. There was some great displays of just wrestling and strength in this, which Bandido is deceptively strong, Alex. Yeah. I liked Bryan Danielson a lot on commentary here. I think that Bryan Danielson on commentary helps the BCC way more than William Regal ever did, too. Because it's with Regal, it was a little bit more about getting himself over at times. And with Danielson, he's putting over the BCC as a unit and Wheeler Yuta. And he's saying, look at this kick out. Wheeler Yuta would not have kicked out in this situation 18 months ago. He's like, he lost last week. And guess what I did? We made him go to Red Rock and do bridges. And now look. He won in the main event of Double or Nothing.
Yep.
I thought this was a good way to start off Dynamite after Double or Nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know that the Lucha Brothers and Bandido are taking a lot of L's right now, as are a lot of the Lucha Libre talent in AEW, despite being protected on the ROH brand. But the BCC coming off that win, we're not going to lose here. And I was just happy to see them on the show.
This was something I was immediately excited about. And the match didn't disappoint. I like that they are continuing to give Wheeler Yuta pinfalls, victories himself. It was always really good in the matches, but it to them, I believe it really matters who the audience sees get the pinfall in these kind of matches. Even more so than who does most of the offense or whatever. Because they make a big deal of it, especially Danielson will in this particular instance. But I thought this was excellent, and I think the BCC are they're so hot right now. I think.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That there's something that they're obviously continuing this whole Elite and the BCC thing. We'll see a backstage segment that very heavily suggested somebody might be coming from a country not America and also not Canada. But once that's done, you can transition the BCC to feud with anybody else and immediately elevate that act. Like they're so on top of it right now.
So let's address that. After AEW Dynamite, or after AEW Double or Nothing, Kenny Omega said, "Oh, I got a couple friends not in AEW that can help." Tonight, there was a backstage segment with the Elite sans Kenny. And we got Alex Marvez and then myself on Twitter accidentally saying that Kenny Omega was back in Canada. And Hangman goes, no, he's not. And then he runs off. What did you make of what Kenny said and what Hangman said, which it is very clearly hinting heavily at Kota Ibushi, as it should be. And I did reach out to Kota Ibushi this week. I have not heard back.
I think that was kind of like, that was a very popular, fantasy book of this whole thing of like, what, once Hangman gets back, you know, well, now it's 4-on-4 and the BCC isn't going to like that. They got to find somebody else. Oh, it's not going to be Takeshita joining the Elite. It's going to be Takeshita joining the BCC, which leaves the door wide open for Kota Ibushi to come in and help out Kenny and friends. So I think a lot of people were anticipating that anyway, especially after the events Double or Nothing. And then for tonight, for Hangman to be like, Alex Marvez here. We've heard that Kenny Omega has left the country. Can you have any comment on that? Hangman says, yes, he has. And it, also, he's not in Canada. Like, it was like, okay, well, thank you for that. Because like, if you'd said he's left the country, well, he is Canadian. He might have just gone back to Winnipeg. But it's not Canada. So what other country does Kenny Omega have a history in? And what friend of
Bulgaria?
Omega-
he's going to get Miro.
That's right. There it is. But I love little obvious subtle hints. I love obvious subtle hints in wrestling. And I'm it's great. It's going to be good.
We got our friend Adrian Wells who gifted some memberships as well. I am weekly putting up content on the membership only thing that is never before seen stuff on Fightful. So check that out. If you've been gifted a membership by Adrian Wells, I'll put up something new there every week. Or something old that is new, actually. But he says, what's good, everyone? How's everyone's Wednesday? It was a good AEW show. Love seeing Blackpool Combat Club beat people up. Best team on AEW and the best channel on YouTube. Love you guys. Well, we love you, Adrian. You're always here and you're always so cool to us. And man, I'm with you, man. Blackpool Combat Club kicking off Dynamite is so perfect because you know you're going to get a good match. You're going to get storyline progression because they're always involved in something important. You're going to see the ROH champ. You're going to see their understudy. You're going to see one of the biggest stars in wrestling, Jon Moxley. Then you get Brian Danielson on commentary. So I am always very happy with that. We got Tom Lavallee saying no puns last night. Just legit happy about Layla. Very clever. Meet Normus wants Lance Archer in a trio with Keith Lee and Dusty. I wouldn't mind seeing Keith Lee with Dustin and Lance Archer at this point, but I would much rather just see Keith Lee and Swerve have their goddamn match.
But before 2024, can that be a thing we get before 2024? Keith Lee versus Swerve. I've been waiting for that thing for what feels like almost a year now.
We got Eric saying, random, where is Lance Archer? Maybe someone who can benefit from Collision? Thought he came back on Rampage a couple months ago. He popped up on ROH a couple months ago. He did a UK series of matches as well. He's been on social media. I haven't heard that he's injured. I do know that the line of thinking that was told to several talent was that basically Tony Khan wanted people to miss certain talent. That way he could be like, tune into Collision, you'll see them. Mm-hmm. And he's, let me tell you, if that's the case, well, guess what? He's got a roster full of them. Andrade, Miro, CM Punk, Lance Archer, Serena Deeb,
Thunder
Mercedes
Rosa.
Martinez, Thunder Rosa. There's a whole mess of them there. Yep. Just Sean Spears is still out there right now. Michael Branson says, forgot to use my free super chat. Love you, Fightful fam. Well, I know some of you are like, you know what? I don't want to spend money on a super chat. Don't want to send money on FightfulSelect.com. Well, how about I save you some money? How about that one, Alex? How about I save people money with NordVPN.com/Fightful? There are a bunch of WWE pay-per-views, bunch of AEW pay-per-views, Ring of Honor, celebrity boxing even. How about UFC all year long? Save some money by subscribing to overseas services. When you get NordVPN.com/Fightful, you change your virtual location with just one click, and you're going to save money on a lot of those pay-per-views. I am a big-time pay-per-view buyer. Take that any way that you want it, and I'm able to save money with NordVPN.com/Fightful. You get a great deal, and you get a 30-day money-back guarantee. So if you try this deal with Fightful and that code Fightful, and you don't like it, you get your money back. But you're not going to get back all that money you would have saved if you would have just kept it. Think about this. It's going to pay for itself probably after the first UFC pay-per-view you buy. I think they're $80 now. I get them for $15. And you might say, well, how do I do that? You change your virtual location. You subscribe to one of those applicable overseas services. And not only will you get the content that's on that service, but you'll save a bunch of money as well. Fight Plus with AEW Plus. You get the old WWE Network interface. It is perfect for pay-per-views. I think each week I'll tell you a different feature that you get with NordVPN. And the savings on pay-per-view is one of the big ones for me. Not only that, I keep it on all my devices all the time. So I'm always safe with NordVPN.com/Fightful. A major drawing point is all the money you're going to save. It pays for itself. So once you buy your first pay-per-view, it's pretty much like, well, there you go. It's paid for, and I get all these great features that you'll see at NordVPN.com/Fightful. Lance Archer is competing in Dominion against Ospreay to crown the number one contender for the IWG U.S. title. Thank you, Luis, for that. That is this weekend. Jambeard says Jake the Snake managing a face stable of Lee, Dustin, Archer would be cool. I don't know how useful Jake is in those situations anymore. He wants to do it. He spoke with Fightful, Lars Fredrickson and Dennis Farrell this past week. Please check that out on the Wrestling Perspective podcast. We had a bunch of notes for you guys early on FightfulSelect.com, thanks to Rob Wilkins. But he said that he wants to do more of it. It's just a matter of finding the right situation. One of the things that I've long pitched, Alex, is a perfect finishing move is very hard to come by in pro wrestling. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, besides maybe the stunner, there was ever a more perfect finishing move than the DDT. You can do it to everybody. Everybody can take it. And if they don't, you can make them take it.
Mm-hmm.
I've said this before. I'll say it again until somebody from there picks up. Maybe Will Washington's tuning in. Maybe he can watch our show once in a while. I wish they would do like a vignette where you don't even see who it is. But Jake Roberts is telling them, I used the DDT for a long time and I finished everybody with it. There's a reason why nobody else finishes people with it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to show you the secret. And then whoever it is adopts that. And that I would even love for it to be revealed. Like somebody just busts it out in the match and that person goes dead cold.
Mm-hmm.
And then you see like Jake Roberts looking on. Have somebody adopt that. I don't care if 100 people use the DDT. I've always said this. A head kick from anybody else is a head kick. A head kick from Mirko Krokop is a finisher. The right person doing the right finish goes a long way. We got Eloquent saying the third man in BC Gold should be Sean Spears. Well, we had BC Gold come out, and they called out FTR. And let me tell you, get the hose for that one. The promo work between these two teams, and then you factor in Ricky, who made the save when Bullet Club Gold attacked. Ricky was fired up, too. He's tired of people saying that this feud doesn't matter. He's making it matter. I want Bullet Club Gold so bad. I think it feels like we're on the verge of getting another member announced.
Oh, you gotta.
Listen, I kind of wouldn't hate if it just was Ricky at this point, because talk about a dominant stable on the mic.
That would be a dominant stable for sure.
I wouldn't talk to him, Alex. Like, where's the benefit?
That would be a long con from Ricky and Juice and Jay.
Maybe. Well, no. I don't even think it's a con. Maybe it's just
I know.
You know what? I saw the light type of thing.
You can't beat them, join them. Yeah. I think that's a really good shout. It'd be a lot of fun. Spears could be a lot of fun too, because he's a guy who hasn't had as much dealings with White and Robinson, but he's been attached to the storyline. I saw somebody say that's what Jungle Boy should do when he turns heel, because there's nobody better to teach him the way of the scumbag than Jay White and Juice Robinson. That could be a lot of fun. But the absolute inverse of FTR versus Jarrett and Jay Lethal for me is FTR versus Jay White and Juice Robinson, because I love those two dudes. I love watching them work. I love all the character they put into everything. I love listening to them on the stick. They could absolutely really go. They're a perfect match for FTR. I'm so excited for this thing. And I love the idea of Ricky being around, which means Bullet Club's gold. They got to get another one. So that's intrigue right there. That's always fun to figure out who they're going to go with. Ricky versus Jay White next week. It's going to be great. I'm going to be watching that in my bed, on my phone, in my hotel room with my daughter and wife asleep next to me. So that'll be a lot of fun. But this is really has me very intrigued for the summer.
Speaking of intrigued, I'm actively being sent clips of Lee Moriarty versus Shibata, which makes me very, very happy.
Very cool.
JP says, do you think it's Ibushi or Okada? Okada for Forbidden Door crossover. He and Kenny Omega have been awful cozy lately, meaning Okada. So I wouldn't doubt it. And plus, there's that mutual respect there. So I wouldn't doubt it at all. Dr. Kartoffelsalat says, is Ibushi really fantasy booking after he's basically on a podcast every other week now saying that he wants to go to AEW? There's no way they couldn't want him, especially if he's patched things up with New Japan.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there are differences, I guess, between what you would call fantasy booking in that, well, then at next year at Double or Nothing, Roman Reigns shows up. Like there's fantasy booking in that it could never happen. And then there's, this is my pitch for what I would like them to do. And is if it's really likely, all the better, because then the thing that you want will actually come true.
Jambeard says, here's the thought. Forbidden Doors coming up. Have FTR, Ricky Spears versus Bullet Club Gold, Ace and Bay. They did tease FTR, Ace and Bay not too long ago on Twitter. Buddy, I've been begging for it. The post show on FightfulSelect.com today. Or maybe it was what do you guys want to talk about? Whatever the hell show it was, I said, ideally, if I were to add new members, it'd be Ace and Bay, because they are just TV stars. But they're both under extended Impact contracts. But Ace and Bay are so, like, for the love of God, guys, if you haven't watched anything on Impact this year, watch that Under Siege show. It was incredible. Top to bottom, incredible. But ACB versus Subculture was so good. I got to talk to Flash Morgan Webster ahead of that. And Bay and Ace Austin, they've got it. And they've got it as a team, too. Coy Stalling says, Scorpio Sky, Bullet Club, Gold, take my money. That would be a good one, too.
That'd be great, too.
if you want to immediately put him into something that has a little bit of value behind it after he's not been on TV for a long time, I think he'd look good in Bullet Club gold colors too. I think he would, he'd play out of that really, really well. And plus instant contenders for the trios too. Like that would be really cool. King of the North says, respect the Bang Bang Gang. I'm a longtime fan of Bullet Club. I really enjoy it. Yeah. Kim Gray says, just meant I'm over Punk and the drama that follows. Listen, Kim, I'm hoping they announce Collision for your front yard now, my friend. That's what I'm hoping. We do have more on CM Punk. Irene says, Dynamite versus Collision. Elite versus Punk discourse is going to be nuts now and won't chill out until Kenny and the Bucks announce that they've re-signed. So that is a dinosaur-sized elephant in the room. Mm-hmm. The Elite, I have not heard that they have signed new deals. I'm sure they're going to play it close to the vest as well.
Yeah.
I keep getting told, oh, you'll be the first to know. I don't think I will be. I think that I'd be a person that they wouldn't want to know by the time they re-sign. I think that it would be one of those things that's like, yeah, let's maybe not let him know because maybe we can make some more money off of this. What are you thinking about the element of that right there?
I think that you'd want to play that close to the vest, the all that part, especially if you're going to work it into any kind of story. You know what I mean? Like it should be up in the air as much as possible. Do I hope they resign? Of course I do. I'd much rather see them here than handcuffed elsewhere. So, I'm very hopeful and also anticipate them resigning but I would say that it is not worth bringing Punk back with a slap on the wrist if it means you lose, you know, the Elite, and then a bunch of people who basically say, well, seeing this, I don't want to re-sign either. You know, like you got to think about how it's going to work.
We have Irene saying the Dynamite. Actually, we just read that one. Tony said, Alex, with the large boulder, the size of a small boulder moment here, would you rather fight a dino-sized elephant or an elephant-sized dino? I would definitely rather fight a dino-sized elephant because... Right. Elephants seem less aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong, but I watch a lot of Naked and Afraid.
They will crush you, and
they will. They will,
but they don't have sharp fangs or claws. So like,
sure.
And the thing of it is that elephants, by and large, are one size, which is very large. Okay.
Yeah.
If you just say elephant-sized dino, then it's gonna be a big dinosaur, whatever kind of dinosaur it is. If you say dinosaur-sized elephant, you have a chance, a pretty decent chance, of the elephant being smaller than an elephant. You know, as you brought up, and which I say, touche. You know,
it's a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot. Lord Kev says, wonder when GOD's contracts are up. How about 5 months ago? That's when their contracts are up. Jambeard says, non-AEW chat, can we give a huge shout out to artist Hal Haney, who's a fantastic artist and put a lot of work into the Ultra Pro Wrestling game, creating over 200 characters. I'm not even familiar with that game, but I'd love to check it out if you can send me some information on it, because our gaming section has taken off. We've got an awful lot of stuff over at FightfulGaming.com. We got the Acclaimed and Billy Gunn promo. Man, I almost thought there was a turn coming, but then when I saw that merch, I was like, listen, no. I know how much merch they're selling. It's a lot. They're among the top. Yeah. And they had three different shirts on, if you noticed.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But that did make me say, well, whenever that turn comes, it's got to be him waiting for the scissor, and then they just clock him. But this was just a rah-rah thing to say. We love you, Billy.
Yeah, and I'm like, I wouldn't mind seeing another match between the Acclaimed and House of Black. I think House of Black basically taking on all comers. You get one. The idea should be you get one shot at us and then back of the line. It seems the Acclaimed are still going after those titles, but I did like that match at Double or Nothing. I loved how it was, we're going to keep Billy Gunn out of the match for as long as possible. Then he got in, had a hell of a hot tag, took one back spinning back kick from Malakai, and it was done. Like, they proved that you can be really great, and we know who we want to keep out of the match. But if you get in, all it takes is our best guy hitting you one time, and it's night-night. I love that.
Here was my qualm with Double or Nothing, and it was that they undermined the house rules immediately. Like, they didn't pick a rule. I think it would have been very fun if literally the Acclaimed rule was you have to scissor daddy ass before you win. Malakai Black knocks him out cold. He picks his arm up, sarcastically does it, pins him. I think that would have been fantastic. And it doesn't undermine the rules that they just set too.
Right. Exactly.
Because, you know, the crowd would be like, oh, that's funny. And then when he does it, they'll be like, that son of a bitch. It would have got Malakai a little bit of heat there too.
True. True.
We got Jambeard saying Sean versus Stampy. Mm-hmm. Wardlow calls out Luchasaurus. That is going to be fun.
Yeah.
We got Orange Cassidy defeating, or Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin defeating the Gates of Agony. This is one of those matches where I love Gates of Agony. They look great. They had zero chance of winning this match. I didn't have a problem with it because the match was good, especially Darby's suicide dive. It's like Toa Leona was like, whatever you got, give it to me. He's Joe Pesci in Home Alone waiting on the brick. Give it to me, kid. Mm-hmm. And boy, did he ever. Darby and OC win. They're great. This felt very placeholderish for the Sting thing, and I'm very glad to see Sting back. But it was fine.
Yeah, no,
Gates of Agony looked great. I just want to say that. They looked incredible.
They look incredible. They're like, Toa Leona is an attraction. Like, you look at that guy, like he feels like he was brought from some territory in 1978 to the future. Like, he's just a crazy wild man in there, and he's just destroying people with no. It feels like he's one of those old, you know, the Samoan savages type tag teams they would run with in the 80s all over the place. Like, I think he's great. He's incredibly fast. He's so strong. Like, he's a perfect dude to be one of the guys backing up Swerve. Much better than Tattoo Face McGee and Parker, whatever his name was.
Oh, they were terrible. They were so bad.
And these guys are great. It's a perfect. I love that this is also furthering the Swerve and OC thing we saw earlier in the night. The Swerve win that triple threat and so Swerve coming out to like take a seat and watch OC, who he's gotten in his sights, and Darby. And by the way, I love the idea of Darby and OC being together, because that's just going to piss off Swerve more, because Swerve hates Darby Allin. And so he wants OC's title, but he wants to murder Darby Allin. Like, there's something there that's really cool for the Swerve angle. I'm really excited to see Swerve versus OC next week. I'm on record saying that everything that I predicted with the OC reign a couple of weeks ago has come true to this point. He was going to win the Battle Royal, Double or Nothing, which he did. Great finish between him and Swerve. I said that the finish of that Battle Royal should set up his next challenger, and it has, and it's Swerve. And I said, I think and I hope that the next time he's got a one-on-one match after the Battle Royal defense, he loses. So in my prediction now, it's Swerve who beats OC next week. I don't know if that's going to happen, but everything else has happened so far, and I would love to see Swerve with gold around his waist. I think, like, he'd be such a great champion. I don't care what level of champion it is, but he's so great.
Vicky says, hi, Alex and SRS. I asked Sting for Sting SRS, and you must have manifested him for me. Best recovery gift ever. Feel like you channeled me on your post. I was so excited to see Sting. I'll never take for granted getting to see him perform or getting to see him out there. Mm-hmm. And Vicky, we're glad to hear that you're doing well post-surgery. You mentioned Swerve. Let's go ahead and talk about Swerve, because he beat Big Bill and Trent. I just love that they were like, this isn't really for anything, mm-hmm. but we just think these three would have a good match. And it's not the like three little guys or three no. big guys. It is three different styles
right.
going at one another. Mm-hmm. And I want to address Trey's very generous Humper chat first. Says Swerve is one of the best entrances in wrestling. He feels like a star when he walks out. His entrance is great. He's looking better physically every single week, and he was already in great shape. He looks like a villain. Like he feels like if somebody drew a comic book and he just feels like a villain, a comic book villain, and that translates really, really well.
He's astonishing. He's so, so good, so charismatic at everything he does in the ring. Everything he does, every step he takes in the ring is dripping with that character that he's created. It's so compelling to watch. This is a triple threat that was basically built for me. This is like an absolute megastar in waiting. All they got to do is literally nudge him in the right direction. He'll do the rest. That's Swerve. An ultra mega worker guy like Trent Beretta, who can do anything you ask him to at whatever pace you ask him to. And like the perfect big guy to be in there with those types of dudes, because Big Bill can move really well. All of his stuff is super high impact. He sells great for a big dude. I also like there's certain stuff that he did at the very end of the match where he did the choke slam outside in. And then was talking trash to Trent from the apron until the last possible second where he turned to meet the stomp. It wasn't one of those things where he felt like he was waiting for it. He was in the moment giving you a reason why he didn't see it coming. Like, it was really excellent. Like, basically, my petition is this. Anybody would like to sign my petition? More awesome random triple threats with featuring three dudes I like. Let's do that. Like, I mean, this was a lot of fun, unexpected, and great.
As you mentioned, the superplex just, oh, what a visual. Because it's not even a spot you think of a lot, a double superplex. But to piggyback off of Trey Cash's Humper chat and translate it into somebody else's, they say, you said that he looks like a comic book character. Which one does he remind you of? I was able to pull up a picture. Killspree in Marvel. The grills that he's got with that smile, his hair. He's got this, like, this dark smile behind him that really, you just feel like he's up to something there, because and that's part of it. He wants you to think he's even more evil than what he is, it feels like. Just worked out so great. Coy Stalling says, hear me out, Swerve wins the title from OC, fights Keith Lee for the belt, holds it till Nick Wayne debuts, and they have a best of three series. Nick Wayne as a shock international champion would be interesting. But at this point, I also think that the international title has been put in a situation where it is like, to me, it's the second biggest men's belt in AEW besides the tag belts.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be opposed to Swerve Scott or Swerve Strickland habits there. Swerve Strickland winning that international title next week, Alex.
Yeah, I would love it. I think the Swerve would be great at it. I think OC's not damaged by it. That dude's been wrestling all the time. He had that amazing like battle royal thing, and then 3 days later, he's in a tag match with two murderers. Like, Khan and Toa Leona are just murderers. And it's I love that he doesn't ever back down from any of that stuff. But eventually, that's going to catch up with them. There's enough nagging injuries and bumps and bruises and you know, cracked ribs that he can't take it forever. So I would love it if Swerve won, and then we get Keith Lee versus Swerve with something on the line. Like I love Keith Lee. I think that dude's awesome. But if you're asking me which one I choose to like push up the card after the thing, I'm choosing Swerve. That I think that guy's got
for sure
limitless. Like, it's funny that I would say limitless because that's Keith Lee, but I do believe that Swerve has limitless potential. Like, I'm talking like top guy in the entire company potential, and he had that potential when he was with WWE, but nobody saw it, and so he is a megastar just waiting to happen.
Parker Hines says, I called it last week. Swerve is taking OC's title, but he put an extra T in there. So he said, tittle. Mm-hmm. Swerve is taking OC's tittle.
Should love it.
An amazing match. My God, pal. I don't think that's on the line, buddy.
I don't think so either.
Get back in the ditch where you belong. Jan Beard said, Swerve feels like a supervillain straight out of Spawn or Luke Cage's TV show. Or even the TV show Boardwalk Empire. Spawn is a really good shout. He does seem like a, sort of a McFarlane creation in that sense. Mark says, 100% serious, saying that when Danielson retires, not only should he be a trainer and producer forever, I want him to be a commentary member. He's incredible, passionate, charismatic, knowledgeable, skilled at improv. The business can benefit from Brian Danielson being around in so many different ways, Alex.
One of the best commentary desks that I've ever listened to, honestly, was Brian Danielson was the color guy for the Cruiserweight Classic.
Oh yeah,
because that was when he couldn't wrestle. They weren't letting him wrestle, but he was the color guy for the entire Cruiserweight Classic. And he was a kid in a candy store. Like he would break down all the differences between the wrestlers, the moves they were using, why they were using them, the strategy. But you could tell it was just because I want to be out there with these guys so bad. But he's got an absolute like infectious passion for the business, for the sport, for the art form of wrestling. He's awesome.
Also, they should have a Renee and Brian Danielson podcast show.
I don't know why they don't.
Something.
I don't know why they don't.
Throw RJ City in there every once in a while, too, please.
Sure, yeah.
Oh, my God. That would be incredible. Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. We would greatly appreciate it. Again, a fantastic triple threat. We got the Toni Storm interview, which kind of sets up some of the main events. So we'll get into that a little bit later on. But man, Rampage is loaded. Vikingo, Dralistico, Commander, you got Willow versus Emi Sakura, you got Zack Sabre Jr. versus Action Andretti, and Shibata against Moriarty. Ten Ruzas says, thoughts on the New Japan AAA titles on Rampage, and then Dominion is this Sunday and features BCC and an IWGP US contenders match with Archer. Kenny will be there. Thoughts on the titles on Rampage? I'm cool with them doing that. Anything that can make you want to tune into that Rampage show a little bit more, I am completely in favor of, Alex.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Like, it's one of those things of sometimes, I mean, just being honest, sometimes I'll see the card for Rampage and go like, you know, like, it's just like one of those things. If I hear anything's great, maybe I'll catch it later. You know, especially those that are like, oh, this week it's on at 1 p.m. and this week it's on 2 days late at midnight. Like, but now it's back in its regular time slot, and they said, why not throw 4 title matches on it featuring a bunch of really great wrestlers? And that's an excellent way for me to go, well, I guess I'm not missing Rampage this week.
Shockhead says, quick aside, between Vikingo's booking and Ospreay's recent comments, do you think both are elite by early 2024? Maybe on a dual contract with New Japan. I know that Ospreay is at least exploring his options. I can tell you guys, I've got enough information to tell you that he's at least exploring some options, but he has been very transparent in discussing with me that he thinks that he can make a deal with New Japan. And a lot of people took the headline wrong the other day, and it's something he said 3 or 4 times. He's like, I don't want to live in America. Not because he doesn't like America. He says it's very big. It gives him a little bit of anxiety, and he likes living where he's from. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that.
Right. Yeah.
Volob said, Tony really said Rampage has some value this week, huh? Also, your longest reigning Fightful member. Well, Volob, we appreciate you. 26 months. I didn't even know that we've done the membership thing for 2+ years. We just started it one day, and I was like, hell, why not? Hell, why not? Jan Beard says, why isn't this Friday's Rampage named Battle of the Belts? 4 non-AEW title matches all look to be bangers. I kind of hope they just nix the Battle of the Belts thing. I can't remember the last time I've watched one live.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bizarro Big L says, need to relax about the F the Elite or CM Punk is toxic talk. The goal is to have these guys work it out. Let's not feed the BS. If we hold people in the past, they will stay there. What happens to Alex if we spill water on him? Glad you're smiling, Sean. Thank you so much. It's been a long day, a rough day, but I appreciate all of you who said very nice things. The Punk and Elite thing, that's why I, like, whenever people say, oh, well, who do you side with? First off, I wasn't in the room.
Right.
I know a lot of this was created by perception and misinformation, whether it be misinformation that got to Punk, got to the media, whatever that may be. It isn't something that I think couldn't be talked out. And that goes with all that stuff. And I will constantly say this, unless somebody is like sexually assaulting somebody or being a bigot or something like that, I don't think that even physical altercations in this sense and misunderstandings can't be overcome. Right. And I mean, same with like little Twitter squabbles. I've seen too many of them get resolved. Resolved too many of them myself to look at this and be like, eh, it's too much to deal with. So I think everybody will be all right. Andrew Cook says, what if Dark Order said, screw Hangman and went on to be Punk's friends? They might do better on Collision. I don't know how I feel about that one. I think that FTR are better equipped for that spot.
Well, they're doing, I know they're doing like a, on ROH, they're doing like the Dark Order versus Stu Grayson and the Righteous. Like, I think the Dark Order would be great, just like basically being ROH guys and doing stuff over there. It feels like they're excellent, but you really have to like do the work to make them feel like they belong anywhere other than a Hangman Page story at this point. That's not saying anything bad about them. It's just like how they've been used almost exclusively on Dynamite. So you'd have to like figure out a way to like, you know, make them their own thing. But I do believe that they fit in really well with what they're doing in ROH right now.
Guys, get in your super chats. Get in your humper chats. Manuel says, happy 1 year MJF pipe bomb day. Agree the crowd tonight was awesome. Smaller venue too. No more Vegas, please. I was there. The crowd sucked at Double or Nothing. There was a lot of denial from the people in the crowd. There was. But objectively, you can look at the crowds in previous Double or Nothings and then look at the back there and you can see a big difference. Now, I'm not saying that's their fault. They're interested in what they're interested in.
Right.
But it was definitely not as good of a crowd.
Mm-hmm.
Hook is interrupted by LFI, saved by Jack Perry. I was waiting for the turn to happen right here.
Oh, man.
Jack Perry, and they're teasing it. They know what they're doing.
They know exactly what they're doing. But like Jack Perry runs in with the chair, but doesn't hit anybody with it. And then like he's standing there with the chair and Hook, and they hug and they're standing next to each other. And every time Hook kind of turned his back even slightly to Jack, Jack would like put both hands on the chair and then remove one hand. Like he knows we're all waiting for it. It's masterful stuff. But like everyone was ready for the no. But like, but that is the thing. I think they're gonna give us at least one more Jungle Hook match before they do that. They're gonna allow us to have Jungle Hook one more time just so they can take it away from us. It's gonna be brutal.
Oh man, Don Callis's promo. He got an incredible amount of heat. Parker Hines says the new heat was nuclear on Callis. Love it. He talked about the scar on his head. And what I can say is, Don, if you're worried about getting scars down there, you better be using manscaped.com and the code Fightful. They got that skin safe technology on the lawnmower 4.0. Man, it goes a long way. And I'll tell you what else goes a long way. Our deal. You got that Father's Day special. What more appropriate to buy your father than pube trimmers? Or maybe you're not comfortable with that. You want to buy him some boxers. Okay, maybe you're not comfortable with that. Maybe you want to get him ear and nose hair trimmers. Maybe you want to get him body wash, shampoo, all types of liquid formulations. Maybe a beard trimmer. The Beard Hedger from Manscaped is the best that I've ever used. They have a Beard Hedger Pro Kit that has all kinds of stuff. The Beard Hedger, the beard shampoo, conditioner, oil, balm, a travel bag, an AC adapter, and a USB-C cable. And a free gift. the beard accessory pack that comes with a brush, a comb, and beard scissors. They got a great value on that right now. Almost, I think, $70 off right now. But you can go there and get 20% off and free shipping on anything when you use the code Fightful. I'm talking about any of your hygiene products in the bathroom. They got you taken care of. Also, they have travel bags for you as well. That way you can take them on the road with you. Whether it's one item, a set, formulations, or things for your lifestyle like boxers and the like, manscaped.com and the code Fightful has you covered. You know you need that groin wash here in the summer. You don't be walking around with those sweaty, nasty, smelly knots. You don't want smelly knots. Come on, freshen those bad boys up with manscaped.com and the code Fightful. Well, there's nothing fresh about that dirty son of a bitch, Don Callis. He said that he may have lost a nephew, but he gained a son. Mm-hmm. Eloquent says, hear me out. Punk heel run managed by Don Callis. I like it. I like Don Callis adopting Punk as well.
Oh, sure. Because what would piss off, I mean, like in our story that we want, what would piss off Kenny more than siding with Punk? Like, that's perfect. Also, there would be tremendous heat if Punk refused to speak and just let Don Callis do all the talking for him. And anytime somebody had him a question, Don Callis was no comment him. You know what I mean? Like, there's something there too. I think Don Callis has done about 75% of what I wanted to explain the turn. Like, I still question his logic on this scar is all because of you, Kenny Omega. That's why I chose to help out the guy who actually put the scar on my head, John Moxley. Like, I always feel like there's a fit there, but like not all heels have to use logic. I get it. I just wanted a little bit more something there. But I do like the thing where he's like, I spent all this time making you the best in the world, and I don't feel like I was appreciated enough for that. So finally, the other shoe dropped, and here we go. But Takeshita looks great as a heel. There's something about him. He's just so damn... When I say cool, I don't mean like, hey, that guy's cool, like the Fonz. I mean like he just exudes this over it, unbothered. Just, I honestly couldn't care less about any of you people who are booing my friend Don Callis. I'm just here to murder his former son. And I think that there's something really great about is Takeshita in the BCC, or is he just helping the BCC whenever they need him to, because he also hates the Elite. And I think there's no reason to make it all black and white right now, but I like that there's a little bit of again, intrigue at that point. But man, Takeshita versus all of these guys in the Elite is an amazing thing. Callis did not, I don't believe, dropped the name Okada by accident. That feels like a potential Forbidden Door thing that could be insanity. So yeah, I'm excited.
I love this. The crowd was all over his ass for it. Jane Beard says, just to annoy people, I want the new family that Callis is talking about to be Punk. I would love that. Mm-hmm. Dr. Chris Mueller says, seeing Mel Coleman's artwork of Don on TV ruled. Mel Coleman is so talented and just a wonderful person, too. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video. We are heading down the home stretch. Get your super chats. Get your humper chats in. A reminder, Thursday, Ask Grapsity on FightfulSelect.com. Friday, I'll have my Q&A show as well. This weekend, Sour Graps. You've got the Weekender as well. Coexisting After Dark, a full podcast slate this weekend. We got the Toni Storm interview. Then we got Chris Statlander defeating Nyla Rose as Taya watches backstage. All due respect to Taya, she's lost twice in the TBS title scene.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not even, I don't think it's, to me, it's not about that. It's what I brought up on the Sour Graps review of Double or Nothing. The way that they had Chris come out and just, you know, you say you want to face anybody anytime, anywhere. Well, how about me right now, right in this place? And then she beat Jade in what, a minute 40?
Yeah.
Right after Taya like softened her up for 10 minutes. So Taya feels like it made her look like a chump. You know what I mean? Like, so sure. She's turning heel on Stat for making her look bad. Also, where's the thank you? You don't beat Jade Cargill like that unless I softened her up for you. I think that there is something there. And that was my immediate thought after the title change happened was, I think they should use this to turn Taya heel and have her feud with Statlander, because it's a different kind of feud and a different kind of Taya. I think it works a lot.
I think that would be great. I think that would be a good approach. I'm glad to see Nyla back on TV. It's time for Nyla to be cutting some damn promos too. Vicky's gone. She ain't coming back. Nyla should have been cutting her own promos the whole time. Just because Nyla is imposing does not mean that she shouldn't be entertaining and funny. I mean, the whole steal the belt thing was not good, but at least she had the highlights of it from an entertainment aspect. I want to see Nyla get to showcase her personality more.
Yeah, I agree. I've always loved Taya's heel work. I think that she can do a lot of really good stuff here.
We've also got a super chat from Jambeard saying, Chris Statlander, she's a real American.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got Saraya and Chris Jericho losing to Britt Baker and Adam Cole in the main event of the night. And what I can say about that is it should be the end of the feud for Adam Cole and Jericho, at least.
I mean, it should have been the end of the feud when Jericho like was the ref stoppage in an unsanctioned match, which I did not know was an option. That was it. And then they cut backstage.
The results happened the same, except for no count, no DQ, I guess. But
right, I guess. I suppose it just didn't. It felt odd. Anyway, it felt like a very conclusive. Adam Cole beat you so bad, and you couldn't protect yourself. The referee had to save you from being killed. That's the end of the feud. Except for Jericho says, "No, I don't want it to be in the feud. In fact, watch me throw this fireball into a dude's face." And so I was worried that they were going to book this and have Jericho and Saraya go over and just keep this thing going. Thank God they didn't. I feel like this is it. Great. Adam Cole can move on, do other things. Britt obviously stays feuding with Saraya because they're still doing the outcasts versus the homegrowns. Great. But Adam Cole is mercifully out of the clutches of a Jericho feud and can go do other things.
So we've got Britt Baker going full commander during this match. A top rope splash onto Jericho and Saraya. I do like how Tony was like, "I'm her friend and I've never seen her do that before." And I like it. It actually added some gravity to the moment. Mm-hmm. And then Britt became well acquainted with gravity on her way down. Mm-hmm. Britt ends up getting some help from Hikaru Shida. I loved Saraya's reaction. Uh-huh. When she had called down her buddies, but then she noticed Hikaru running down. She's like, no, it's her. And then Hikaru Shida just beats the brakes off of them.
Yep.
This was another very definitive win for Adam Cole. Uh-huh. I know after they went off the air, Britt and Adam Cole did their spot. This is the first time they've teamed together in quite a while too. Yep. But I don't need to see any more Jericho Cole now because 1-2, it's over. I'm sure Britt and Saraya will continue because they're, quite frankly, they're the two most visible talent on the roster, the two most famous talent on the women's roster. But where do you think that goes from here, Britt and Saraya?
I mean, it's continuing. I mean, we've a lot of people, I know we've talked about it, have assumed we're getting a women's blood and guts, you know, thing. Like, are we gonna fully because it does feel like Rio's kind of part of the good girls whenever she's got a pipe, and Willow has been occasionally, Sky Blue has been occasionally. It feels like we definitely have the three who are leading the outsiders. So are we, is that where we're going still? I want progress on this feud. If this is going to take up so many of the women, including now, because Jamie's obviously involved when she's healthy again. So does that put everything off that she's not a part of the homegrown team right now while she's getting healthy with her shoulder? So I think we're probably pushing toward Jamie Hayter, Toni Storm at Wembley, maybe if Jamie can get healthy.
I think that's her title back there. I really think that's the plan. That's got to be the plan.
That's good.
Got to be the plan there. Duckman says, Nyla has a great sense of humor. I would love to see her explore that more. Me too. Yeah. You don't see a lot of comedic female talent, mm-hmm. too. Like, mm-hmm. Well, you saw Carmella for a while, and she's going to be mm-hmm. gone. You're seeing Chelsea do it very, very well, and she stands out as a result of that. Mm-hmm. I would love to see more of that.
Right.
Dr. Kartoffel Salat says, between BCC and Elite and Outcasts and Homegrowns, it feels like we are building to a doubleheader, blood and guts. Would be nice to see the women get one. You know what I would love to see? God forbid they continue the Outsiders and the Outcast until All In, All Out week. But to me, that week, All In, All Out, Dynamite, Collision.
Yeah.
Everything you can throw at the wall. Every ROH 100%. Title, every Blood and Guts, a Casino Battle Royal, a Casino Ladder Match. Make every single thing in those 7 days seem mm-hmm. as important as possible. Get the whole wrestling world looking at you and say, all right, we got it. We got to start watching all the time. Blow off big stuff. Do what you can.
Sure.
Well, we're blowing off this podcast, by God. Leave a thumbs up on this video. We're here every single night. Reminder, the Collision Post Show starts June 17th with Riccochino, Iridium Fierro, mm-hmm. and Crest of the Star. I'll be popping in on that. And the SmackDown show here and there, being an insider, giving you guys some exclusive news. But I'll be doing a little bit of something this summer, talking about some of my favorite, least favorite things on SmackDown and Collision. The SmackDown post show from now on at 10:10 p.m. Eastern. Rampage will now be covered on the Collision post show if anything of note happens that needs to be addressed there. But we got everything. We got coverage of NXT, Impact, ROH, WWE, AEW here on the main feed. And if you ever say, oh man, you know what? I wish you'd cover the indies. We do. FightfulSelect.com mm-hmm. has one of the best independent podcasts ever. The Weekender with Steven Jensen. Some of you say, well, I'd like more Japanese wrestling coverage. FightfulSelect.com has Select Style. Scott Edwards does an incredible job there. But Alex also brings us additional shows for Raw and SmackDown on Sour Graps. Let the people know what you do.
Well, it's a little different this next coming week because I'm going to be on vacation with my family, but I will be here on Friday doing the AEW Rampage watch along, talking about the great Bloodline implosion, which is going to happen even more so, I believe, on Saturday, on Friday on SmackDown. Then I'm gone all next week. No Monday night Raw review for Sour Graps, unfortunately. I'll be off of the Tuesday show with Kate for NXT. I'll be off of this show, but I'll be back for next Friday's SmackDown. I'll give a little like thoughts on everything that happened during the week in wrestling and review everything else there as well. But we do have a lot of fun there. It's my first real vacation. I feel like in 3 or 4 years. So yeah.
I've been on 2 vacations since Fightful started, and I made the mistake of them being like couples vacations. Like you go with mm-hmm. another couple. First one was bad. The second one, I saw a divorce unfold.
That's not good.
So a word to the wise, don't do that. Don't do it. So Alex, I think I should talk Kate into doing like a call-in show on Monday for Sour Graps or something.
That would be very funny.
Because I think that would be very funny to see the SGS pop up on there. Guys, thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.